From Hollywood, Camel Cigarettes present The Screen Guild Players. Our stars, Joan Fontaine, Patrick Knowles, and John Sutton. Our play, Ivy. Our sponsor, Camel Cigarettes.
Experience is the best teacher.
Try a Camel. Let your own experience tell you why more people are smoking Camels than ever before. Your taste and your throat form your T-zone, where you judge any cigarette. Now, the T-zones of millions of smokers have awarded first place in smoking pleasure to Camel Cigarettes. To make sure you're getting the most in smoking pleasure, try a Camel on your T-zone. See how your taste enjoys Camel's rich, full flavor. How your throat likes Camel's cool, cool mildness. Tonight, Camel Cigarettes present the Screen Guild Players in one of the season's most absorbing dramas. Sam Wood's great hit for Universal International Pictures, Ivy. It stars Joan Fontaine in the title role, with Patrick Knowles as Roger, John Sutton as the inspector, and Dan O'Herlihy as Jarvis Lexton. The Camel Screen Guild Players in Ivy.
Over and over, it isn't true. It's a dream. It never happened. It never happened, and yet Roger Greatorex is going to die. It isn't as though I planned the whole thing. In a way, it isn't my fault at all. You can't blame a person for wanting things. I mean, well, Jarvis and I had nothing, nothing, and going about the way we did, knowing all the best people, asked to all the best places, and then coming home to that shabby little flat. Well, you'd felt the same way I did.
Darling, a little more gently, please. I'm afraid that door is on its last hinges.
Oh.
Now, what's the trouble, Angel?
This awful, awful little flat. Jarvis, isn't it horrid having to come back to this?
Well, of course, I prefer Lady Flora's place.
I hate being poor. These beastly, sordid lodgings. Drawers that won't even open or shut.
This one opens, darling. Wants tidying, though.
Jarvis, why did you let us spend all your money?
I suppose because we'd such a good time spending it.
If your friends ever guessed the way we live...
They'd say poor Ivy, chained to that awful rotter, Lexton.
No, I often believe it was my extravagance that... Jarvis, I can't think why you don't divorce me.
One more remark like that and I'll put you across my knee and smack you till you're blue and...
Oh, darling.
My angel, I'd never divorce you in a million years. Just being with you makes up for the money, for living like this, for everything. Besides, yes. Something will turn up. See if it doesn't.
Yes, I'm sure it will. Nice party tonight, wasn't it?
Quite nice, I thought.
Such important people.
Such excellent food.
That Miles Rushworth, the publisher, he's nice, don't you think?
Doesn't have to be nice, he's rich. What were you two whispering about all evening?
Jealous?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you've no need to be. He's going to give you a job.
Me? Mm-hmm. What kind of a job?
Something in his office.
Did you ask him for it?
Not directly. I told him you'd lost your money through a crooked lawyer.
That's a new one.
Well, he was very sympathetic. I believe he's taken a fancy to you.
Or to you, darling.
Jarvis?
Not that I blame him in the least. You're the dearest girl any man.
Oh, darling. You're sweet.
Ivy,
Jarvis, if you're going to work, you'd better get some rest. I must admit that Jarvis was right, in a way. Miles Rushworth had taken a fancy to me, and, well, perhaps I was a little flattered. He was so terribly rich and rather good-looking, and not that I thought of anything definite. After all, there was Jarvis. Jarvis and Roger. I rather suspected Roger would be difficult. But just how difficult, I didn't know until the next week. That night at Rose Arundel's ball, we walked out on the balcony.
Here, behind these plants. No one can see us here.
No, Roger. Shouldn't we be dancing?
I'd rather talk. It's the only chance I've had all night. I've been so occupied with Rushworth.
Mr. Rushworth's going to find a job for Jarvis. Why shouldn't I be occupied with him?
I'm sorry, Ivy. But seeing you with another man, watching you laugh,
Roger,
and talk.
What am I going to do about you? After all, we must remember that I'm married.
You were married when we met, right from the start.
Yes, but somehow it was all so different then. I didn't realize how easy it was to drift into something dangerous.
But I...
And you were different, too, so gentle and kind, and I thought it was so noble of you, establishing a laboratory down in the slums, working and living there.
Noble? I couldn't afford to live anywhere else.
I know, and yet... Oh, I admit it was intriguing, Roger, coming to see you at your laboratory. My own key, my own entrance off the alley. Oh, but then you used to laugh, and you were gay, and it was fun.
It still is.
No, not anymore. Not since you became so serious.
But I...
Oh, really, Roger? You've become quite impossible. You think that just because we're good friends that...
Friends? We're in love with each other.
No, we're not. I'm not.
Ivy.
No, Roger. It's got to stop now, tonight.
Ivy, you don't mean that. You can't. What's make you change?
Roger, I... Oh. The music started. I'm sorry, darling. I promised this dance.
No, not yet. Please wait. Ivy.
No, Roger. Please. Please.
Ivy, I'll never give you up. Never. Never.
That worried me. It worried me constantly. Roger might do something utterly stupid, and Mr. Rushworth might not understand. He was being so nice to Jarvis and me. We had a lovely new apartment for almost nothing at all. It seems that Miles, Mr. Rushworth, knew the owner, and Jarvis was so happy with his job, and I was so grateful. So it was only natural, when I was in the neighborhood, to drop by and chat with Miles, and not that there was anything improper, ever. At least, not until that afternoon. We'd been sitting there talking, and neither of us had thought to turn on the light. I remember saying, oh dear, it's grown so dark, hasn't it? And then suddenly, quite suddenly, I was in his arms. It was a long moment, and then...
Ivy.
That's the first time you ever called me that.
Ivy, this is an utter catastrophe.
Miles.
I've always believed the most despicable thing a man can do is to make love to another man's wife. I'm terribly ashamed.
Miles, I think...
It happens I have some urgent business abroad, and it's taking this to make up my mind.
You're going away?
It's best for all concerned. I could have been very happy with you if... Goodbye, I... Goodbye, my dear.
I knew what it was he hadn't said. If I weren't married, if there were no Jarvis, if we... Not that I thought much about it. I scarcely thought of it at all until later, until that day when Jarvis and I had a row. He said we were getting even deeper in debt. It was all my fault that I was spending too much. He made quite a scene, completely unnerved me, and then went storming out of the flat, and just at that moment, as though I hadn't had enough. Hello?
Hello, Ivy.
Oh, it's you, Roger.
I've been calling you all week. Your maid keeps telling me you're out. Darling, why wouldn't you talk to me?
Because if I did, you'd want to see me.
Of course I would.
Oh, believe me, Roger, it's all for the best.
I don't agree with you.
Roger, I'm sorry. You are being selfish.
Selfish or not, I've got to see you. And if you won't come to me, I'm coming to you today.
Don't be absurd.
I mean it, Ivy.
No, Roger, you mustn't. Very well. I'll be there. I'll come to you. Really, Roger, it's just awful for me, being so worried all the time, and Jarvis losing his temper, and then you hounding me.
I'm sorry, darling. You are in a state.
But who wouldn't be? And I tell you, I can't go on like this.
My dear, I...
Oh, what have I to look forward to? Always poverty, always bills, always Jarvis harping at me.
He's no right to do that.
And you making it worse, plaguing me, threatening me, refusing to remember that I'm married, and... Oh, I wish I were out of it all.
Oh, darling, darling, I'll straighten this whole thing out. I'll go to Jarvis, and I'll tell him he's got to
You'll
give you
You'll do nothing of the sort.
But, Ivy, if we love each other...
Professor, you're wanted. Roger.
Behind the screen, quick. Yes, Martha?
Oh, it's Mrs. Parslow's little boy, sir. Along at number 8. Got hold of some rat poison, and I knew you'd have an antidote. Oh, please, Mr. Roger. They're waiting for you.
I'll be right along. Take that bottle, emetic.
Oh, this, sir?
No, not that one. That's poison. The bottle behind it.
Oh, I have it, sir.
Tell them I'll be there in a moment.
Yes, sir.
Ivy, darling.
Roger, I'd better go.
No, not yet, darling.
Oh,
please,
Roger,
wait
please.
For me. Please, I'll only be 10 minutes at the most.
You can see it wasn't anything I'd planned. In fact, I meant to leave. Truly, I did. I turned to the door. I started to go, and then I saw the bottle. In that entire room, Suddenly, all I could see was that bottle. The white skull and crossbones, the red label marked poison. I stood there, frozen for a moment. And the whole thing seemed so simple. It took only a moment to pull out the bottle stopper and pour some of the powder into my purse. It was really so absurdly easy, except that just as I was putting the bottle down... So I'd better do it while I... Oh, sorry, ma'am. I didn't know that anyone was here. I came in to put this bottle back. Don't like to have any poison off the shelf. You're waiting for the professor, ma'am? No, I was just going. Tell him I'll ring him in the morning.
Ivy, that you?
Yes, Jarvis. Oh, no, don't get up, dear.
Thanks for calling me dear. After the way I lost my temper, I was beginning to think you left me for good.
No, I've been walking and thinking.
Exactly what I did, old girl.
Jarvis, I've been nothing but trouble to you. Extravagance and debt and... Why don't you do the same thing and divorce me, darling?
Ivy. Angel, I've told you I'll never divorce you in a million years.
I'm sorry, Jarvis.
Now, look, don't you go apologizing to me. But how's forgetting me a brandy and soda?
Yes, Jarvis.
Hurry, darling.
Yes, dear. He started complaining of the pains that night. It wasn't as though I wanted him to suffer. I didn't. I offered to call a doctor, but Jarvis wouldn't hear of it. All he wanted was another brandy and soda. And so I fixed him another one. In the morning, he was worse. I tried to make it easier for him. I offered to cancel all my appointments, but he simply wouldn't hear of it. I couldn't just stay and watch the pain in his face. I couldn't, and so I left. Now I think I perhaps should have stayed. I should have stayed at home because late that same day...
Yes, sir?
Good afternoon. Is Mrs. Lexton in?
No, sir. Not now, sir.
When will she be back?
Well, not till late, sir. She's gone out to early dinner and then the theatre.
Who is it, Emily?
Oh, Mr. Lexton is home.
Yes, sir. He's not been feeling at all well.
Emily! Who's there?
It's Roger. Roger Greatorex.
Professor Greatorex. The one who...
Roger! Come on in!
Thanks. Now, if you're sure you've no objections, miss, I'll go in and visit with him for a while.
Hello? Hello? Yes, I'm trying to find Mrs. Lexton. Mrs. Jarvis Lexton. I'm sure she's there. This is her maid. Yes, it's very important. If you could page her or something...
Emily.
Mrs. Lexton.
What is it, Emily?
Mrs. Lexton, during your absence this evening...
Oh, I beg your pardon. Who are you?
I'm Dr. Berwick. I was called in by your maid while you were out.
Mr. Jarvis was took real bad, ma'am. Dr. Berwick lives downstairs in the building.
Oh, I see. How is he?
He's dead.
Dead?
I'm sorry. This puts me in an awkward position. I'm afraid I must ask for a post-mortem.
Post-mortem? Why?
Mrs. Lexton, I think your husband died of poison.
In just a moment, you will hear Joan Fontaine, Patrick Knowles, and John Sutton in Act Two of Ivy. Do you take the word of the motion picture critics about a picture, or do you want to see and judge for yourself? Well, lots of folks want to judge for themselves. It's kind of an American trait, you might say. Just as in choosing a cigarette, folks like to try cigarettes and judge for themselves. Of course, they tried a lot of different brands during the wartime cigarette shortage. They couldn't get any one particular brand regularly then, so smokers compared and judged a wide variety of cigarettes. They judged them with their T-zones. That's T for taste and T for throat, where any cigarette is tested. That's right. You don't judge a cigarette by sight or feel or hearing, do you? Just by your T-zone, your sense of taste and the sensitivity of your throat. Well, the judgment of millions of smokers, after all that cigarette comparing, is that Camels are best for rich, full flavor, coupled with cool, cool mildness. Yes, millions of smokers agree that Camels are their choice for all-round smoking pleasure. Camels, always a leading favorite, are more popular than ever.
More people are smoking Camels, than ever before.
Experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel yourself. And remember, Camels by the carton are the best buy. Camel Cigarettes now present Act Two of Ivy, starring John Sutton, Joan Fontaine, and Patrick Knowles.
Jarvis, dearest, sweet Jarvis, dead. I simply couldn't believe it at first. And then finally, I realized it was true, and I'm afraid I went completely to pieces. Dr. Berwick was most efficient, most professional. He gave me a sleeping draught and put me to bed. And early next morning, he was back again. Dr. Berwick and another man with him.
Mrs. Lexton, this is Mr. Orpington, Inspector Orpington, Scotland Yard.
Scotland Yard?
It seems that Dr. Berwick was correct. Mrs. Lexton, I'm afraid your husband died of poison.
Oh, no.
I'm forced to ask you some questions. If you'd rather I waited.
No, I'll be all right.
Mrs. Lexton, did your husband have anything to drink or eat yesterday while you were with him?
Oh, yes, a brandy and soda just after lunch. Doctor, was that wrong? He begged for it, sir.
No, I don't think the brandy and soda did any harm.
Oh, I'm glad of that. If you knew how Jarvis liked his...
Mrs. Lexton, forgive me if I seem impertinent, but the poor fellow's life was insured, of course.
Oh, no. Jarvis wasn't insured at all.
But he was comfortably off. I mean, he's left you well provided for, I hope.
Oh, no. All we had was his salary and a lot of debts. But don't worry about me. I'll find a job.
You're very brave, Mrs. Lexton.
Thank you.
Now, there is one other little matter. Your friend, Professor Greatorex.
Our friend.
Yes, of course. Did you know he was coming here yesterday?
He was here?
Yes, with your husband, just a few hours before he died.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I understand he's telephoned you quite a bit this last week.
But I never talked to him.
No, we have your maid's word for that. She says she was instructed to tell him you were out.
Yes, she was.
But still, he was more your friend than your husband's, wasn't he?
That's true, Inspector.
That's very sensible of you to admit it. You saw him alone at times?
At times, not often.
At his place?
Oh, no, never. We'd walk together in the park, or perhaps we'd go to a picture gallery.
I understand. In other words, you were quite... Well, quite fond of him.
I am very fond of Professor Greatorex. But I love my husband.
Naturally. Tell me, was Professor Greatorex jealous of your husband? Don't bother to answer that unless you want to.
I suppose he was, in a way. But don't mistake, Roger's a wonderful man.
I've no doubt of that. What did Mr. Lexton think of him?
Oh, he liked him tremendously. He'd no idea, of course, that Roger was, well, in love with me.
And you never told him.
Oh, he'd have been so hurt. He trusted Roger as a friend.
I see. Professor Greatorex lives in Perry Place?
Yes, I think he does.
Thank you. I'm grateful to you for being so frank. And please accept my very sincere sympathy. Dr. Berwick, I think we can go along now.
Coming, Inspector. Mrs. Lexton, I'll leave you a sedative. Try to relax.
Thank you, Doctor. I'll try. Operator. Hurry, please. I've got to get through. Hello, Roger. Is that you?
Ivy, darling, I've been hoping you'd...
Roger, wait. Listen, something dreadful's happened. Jarvis is dead.
Dead?
Last night. And Roger, I've got to talk quickly. That man might come back.
Man?
Oh, it's dreadful, and I'm so frightened. They say that the poor darling didn't die a natural death.
Not a natural?
I don't know what to think or talk. A horrible man came to see me. Something to do with the police. And now he's coming to see you.
But why?
Well, I'm not sure. He asked such funny questions. Oh, Roger... You won't give me away.
Give you away?
He wanted to know if I was fond of you, if you loved me. Of course I said you didn't, and then he asked if I'd ever been to your place.
He asked that?
I said, no, of course I hadn't. What else could I say? But if you tell him that I have, that if it gets in the papers and all our friends know about
it... Oh, don't worry, darling. No one will know. I'll tell them you've never been here, and I've never even seen you alone.
Oh, but, Roger, what about your assistant? What if she's seen
Martha?
Me there?
Oh, she's devoted to me. She'll say anything I tell her. She'll swear she's never laid eyes on you.
Roger, thank you.
Ivy, we mustn't see each other for a while. Not even call. Ivy, darling, you must be brave.
I will, dear. I will.
And try not to think about it. Try to put the whole thing out of your mind.
You're sweet. The doctor's left me a sedative. I think I'll try to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Lexton, the afternoon piper. Mem, he's been arrested.
Arrested? Who?
Professor Greatorex's man. He's been arrested for murder.
Mrs. Lexton, I know how trying these past few weeks have been for you, but as prosecutor for the Crown, I find myself in somewhat of a quandary. You know that the prisoner has pleaded not guilty.
Yes.
Yet he steadily refuses to testify, and so I have been forced to ask you to the witness box. I hope you understand.
I think so, sir.
Now then, your maid, Emily Green, has testified that the prisoner used to telephone you sometimes as often as 3 times a day.
Well, I...
But that you never talked to him. Is that testimony true?
Yes.
Speak up, Mrs. Lexton. I didn't hear.
She answered yes, my lord. Now, tell me, Mrs. Lexton, what were your real relations to and with Professor Greatorex? Yes, Mrs. Lexton?
We were friends, all three of us. My husband, too.
Then, Mrs. Lexton, try to answer this. Was there, unknown to your husband, any romantic relation between you and the prisoner at the bar?
Was
the prisoner in love with you?
Witness will please answer the question.
Must I answer?
Counsel is entitled to a reply.
Then I...
Milord!
What? What's that?
Milord, I wish to withdraw my plea and change it to guilty.
Roger Greatorex, I pass upon you the sentence of this court, which is that you be taken hence to a lawful prison and thence to a place of execution, and that you there on the 8th day of June in the current year be hanged by the neck until you are dead.
The 8th day of June, that's tomorrow. Dawn, they say. 5 o'clock. In 12 hours, you'll... It isn't my fault. I didn't ask him to do it. He couldn't resist playing the fool. If only I could rest. If only I could stop thinking. I don't know what I should have done if Lady Flora hadn't taken me until tomorrow. Tomorrow it will be all over. And Miles will be back soon. There'll be nothing to worry about. Nothing except... Why should I be frightened by Inspector Orpington? He said nothing. He's done nothing. And yet that day in court, the way he looked at me, if only I could be sure, if only I knew what he was thinking, what he was planning, if only I could be certain. Yes?
Arthur, you remember me, Inspector Orpington? May I come in?
Oh, yes, sir. I've got the place closed up, sir, except the laboratory.
That'll do me fine.
Yes, sir. In here, sir.
Thank you. I should have asked to come in here anyway, Martha.
You would, sir?
Yes. I wanted to have a look at that other door.
Other doors?
That one over there. Leads out on the alley, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
So anyone could come and go here without being seen?
Yes, sir. If one had a key, sir.
Martha, I just learned today that Professor Greatorex had an extra key made for that door. About a year ago. Who used that key, Martha? Could it have been Mrs. Lexton?
Oh, please, sir. I've told you 100 times...
I know, that Mrs. Lexton's never been here. But, Martha, don't you realize in less than 12 hours they'll hang Professor Greatorex?
Oh, no.
They'll hang him for something he didn't do. He's shielding someone, and you're helping him. What is it, Martha? Say it.
I can't. I promised.
Promised what? Whom?
Oh, no.
All right, then, I'll ask. All you have to do is answer. Was Mrs. Lexton ever here?
Oh,
was she? Tell me.
Oh, yes. She was here, standing by the jar of poison.
By the poison? Martha, you'll never feel sorry for this. Come along. We're going over to Scotland Yard.
Emily, are you sure? Are you sure he said reprieve?
I'm quite sure, Mrs. Lexton. It was that inspector who called. He said to tell you there was new evidence, ma'am, and he was sure he knew the guilty party.
Emily, go tell Lady Flora I'm leaving. I'll go back to the flat. You can pack my things and follow later. Hurry.
Yes, ma'am.
New evidence. New evidence. They couldn't have found out. They couldn't. They...
Miles. Miles will help me. He won't let them hurt me. Miles, he'll be home soon. His cable said so. He loves me. I know he does. He'll do anything for me. Anything in the world.
Inspector, you're sure you have enough evidence?
I'm positive, Martha. All we needed was a motive, and the cable from Rushworth gave us that. But fortunately, we found it when we searched the flat. Oh,
then all she wanted was Rushworth.
Oh, murders be done for less money than he has.
Inspector.
Oh, there's Waters now. He's brought her in. All right, Waters.
Inspector Orpington.
Where is she, Waters?
Well, sir, I waited for her on the street in front of her flat. And then she came along, sir, and I stepped up to her nice and quiet-like.
Yes?
She started to run, sir, across the road. And just then a big lorry came along.
Bad?
I believe, sir, the Lexton case is closed.
Our stars, Joan Fontaine and Patrick Knowles, will return to the Camel Screen Guild microphone in just a moment. According to a nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. That survey went from coast to coast, covered big towns and little towns. Three leading independent research organizations asked 113,597 doctors living in all those different areas what cigarette they smoked. The brand named most was Camel. And now, before we ring down our curtain, a final round of thanks to you, Joan Fontaine, Patrick Knowles, John Sutton, and Dan O'Herlihy, for a most exciting half hour.
Well, appearing with the Camel Screen Guild players is always a red-letter event for us. We know how much this program contributes towards supporting the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house. And believe me, we're all very proud to share in that work. Now, Joan, you have something to say?
I certainly have, Pat. It's rather a relief to stop being that horrid girl Ivy and to say something nice for a change. In fact, I think it's very nice. You know, the makers of Camel cigarettes send free Camels every week to the men in servicemen's hospitals. This week, free Camels go to Veterans Hospital, Van Nuys, California, United States AAF Station Hospital, Scottfield, Illinois, and the U.S. Naval Hospital, Newport, Rhode Island. Happy smoking, boys. Your Camels are on the way right now. And good night, everybody.
Don't forget, Monday night is always a brilliant event in the Camel Screen Guild Theater. Hollywood's greatest stars in Hollywood's greatest stories. Next Monday night, a story included in every list of the 10 best pictures of the year. From the brilliant pen of Noel Coward, A Story You Love. Brief Encounter, starring those great favorites, Irene Dunne and Herbert Marshall with Tom Conway. Be sure to listen. Ivy was directed by Bill Lawrence, adapted for radio by Harry Cronman, with music by Wilbur Hatch, and was presented through the courtesy of Sam Wood and the Universal International Studios, next releasing Secret Beyond the Door. Joan Fontaine will next be seen starring in Letter from an Unknown Woman, a Rampart production for Universal International release. Patrick Knowles will soon be seen in the Paramount picture Dream Girl. Listen to Vaughn Monroe with Colonel Stoopnagel and their guests, the Harmonic Cats, on the air for Camel Cigarettes every Saturday night over most of these CBS stations. This is Michael Roy in Hollywood saying good night and won't you have a Camel? This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.